Welcome to On Demand. This is our AFR exclusive podcast where we do a deep dive into issues that you need to hear about from guests that you should love to hear from. And today we're kind of doing a little bit of a 30,000 foot perspective, which we often do on the radio side as well when there are topics that we're not necessarily drilling down into, but it's more of a big picture of where are we at in this country, where are we headed, and where should we be focused. And right now, as we're here at the end of April 2026, the big question mark, of course, is the midterm elections and how President Trump is doing, how the Republican Congress really isn't doing much, and then how the Democrat Party is putting up people like James Tallarico that are just, you know, blatantly heretics, first and foremost. He claims to be a Christian and clearly isn't, but that just have such leftist viewpoints. And then they're still talking about potentially having Kamala Harris run again for president in 2028, which just shows that they haven't moved away at all from this kind of Marxist and explicitly communist perspective. And we see that, of course, with the rise of Mamdani out of New York City. And so it feels like for the base of at least the Christian conservatives and those of us who are real Christians, we obviously don't want to see the Congress go back into the hands of the leftists who will just try to thwart President Trump's agenda and basically cause chaos for the last 2 years of his term and obviously try to influence 2028. But then we also are really not that enthusiastic overall about the people on the so-called right, because it seems like there is a lot of not just fracturing going on in terms of a political policy perspective. I think we all agree on some of the major issues, at least the major policy issues, like having mass deportations, making sure to stop illegal immigration and even question immigration as a whole, who should have access to this country. We agree on things like free and fair elections. We want the SAVE Act to be passed. We want lower taxes. We want safer communities. We want actual justice. I mean, some of those big picture items, it seems like Republicans just really aren't focused on when they can't even pass the SAVE Act. And then it kind of boils down to, I think, on the right, while we agree on some of those big picture policy items, the real question and the real disintegration, frankly, is around the basic assumptions of what government is legitimately obligated to do and the truth of reality, which really gets into the Christian worldview as a whole. Because even just yesterday, I was having a discussion online and just got absolutely lambasted in the comments, which is fine because my opinion is correct. So, you know, whatever. And this was over the topic, of course, of President Trump reducing the scheduling of the drug classification scheduling of medical marijuana and reducing that to a class 3 instead of a class 1, and really paving the way for ultimately legalizing recreational marijuana, which here in Florida we voted down, thankfully, in 2024 through Amendment 3. That was a very hard-fought battle, and yet there are still so many so-called conservatives who have this view that I should have the right to put whatever I want in my body and the government can't tell me no. And they think, and some people have even had the audacity to say this, well, you know, Jesus was into all of the herbs, so he would have smoked pot. And I'm thinking, how can you possibly get to that conclusion? So, you know, so we have just such a disparate view, I think, among the voting populace that we're a little bit in a mess. So joining me to discuss all of this, and that's, you know, kind of a 30,000 foot overview, is my good friend, Pastor Alan Mashburn. He's also a conservative and Christian pundit, and of course, first and foremost, a pastor. And we love having him on this program and also on the radio side. And, you know, Alan, overall, what's your take on all this and kind of where we're at today? Because I view this as a lack of biblical literacy, which we've been talking about throughout this week, and a lack of overall the basic assumptions of a truthful worldview that then can flow into policy. And so we're all just chaotic.
Absolutely. If there's one word that sums up today, it is chaotic. And always good to be with you, Jenna. But I'm glad you mentioned that this is like a 30,000-foot view. There's so much to look at. There's so many moving parts. Think about the midterms. In the last 22 midterm elections, it's not gone the White House party their way. So it's history stacked against the president. It seems like no one in Washington has, number one, no spine. They never have any discernment, which is what you just mentioned. And to do that, you've got to acquaint yourself with truth and saturate yourself with truth. And that's what we're seeing a lack of. God rest his soul. Thank God for Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. What God accomplished in his life and ministry and his death, I believe, has been on the forefront of America for the last year. And we're coming off of that. There is no Charlie Kirk there carrying that mantle. There's many of them, but we need more of those young men and women to carry that mantle, to offer that light of truth into our dark world, especially in our dark America in D.C.
Yeah, I still can't believe that Charlie is gone. And, you know, the more that we look back over some of those videos and some of the things that have gotten even more attention, of course, since his killing, really his purpose in politics was to point back to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's really the solution, of course. And that's what we need to be doing more and more, I think, as Christians, and not just arguing the policy issues, which of course are very important, but laying that foundation of why the conservative view of policy is the biblically correct one. And so it's not just a matter of arguing policy and what I think versus what you think and kind of this clash of even perspectives. That's the kind of secular pluralism that we find ourselves in today, where everybody's viewpoint is equally valid and we just argue kind of who wins out basically on sheer numbers of voters. I mean, that's essentially mob rule. And rather than what our founders set up in a constitutional representative republic and a republican form of government, is to have representatives that represent ultimately, first and foremost, truth. They don't just go along with whatever their voters want them to say. And I think we've lost that view of what a constitutional republic is actually designed for.
And one of the reasons why we've lost that view is because the other side has done very well in conditioning America and the younger generation through the public school system that we are a democracy. They continue to bring that word to the surface in every conversation that they have. We want to steer it to the truth, which is a constitutional republic. They would have you think otherwise. And it's just amazing how far we have come and how much we've allowed error to overpower truth. When we have the truth, it is our job, it's the light's job to invade the darkness. So that means not just the gospel, but truth in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, truth has to be at the foundation of everything we do in the civil government. Otherwise, it's just a matter of political will and also political power. And I think this is one of the reasons, quite frankly, Alan Mashburn, that the Republicans are losing, because they used to be on the side of truth and they used to come from, you know, what's called traditional values. And I actually don't really like that term traditional, because that assumes that just, you know, history and heritage must always be right because it's been history and heritage. Well, no, traditional means in the tradition, hopefully, of Christian values and truth. And we have a grand tradition coming from Scripture because it is truthful. And so even if we have a tradition, that if it's a bad one and it's a false one, then we don't just continue that because it's tradition. I mean, that's what the left argues when they say they're super precedent and, you know, Roe versus Wade should never have been overturned. And they argued that because it had been, quote unquote, cemented into law, it could never be overturned. And so they're arguing the flip side of tradition. But anyway, I think that what Republicans are failing to do is to actually stand up on principle and give Americans and American voters a clear distinction between the chaos of the left and a more solid, predictable, values-based, principled party. I mean, the right has almost become as unpredictable as the left.
Absolutely. And no state bears that truth more than the state that I live in North Carolina. We are leading Democrats and independents in registering people to vote. So we have more registered Republicans in this state now than we've ever had. But you try to get them to the polls to vote, and that's where the problem lies. You cannot get them to the polls. Why? Because they don't have any faith at all in the GOP and in the Republican Party. Right now in Congress, they're slow walking everything, just like they did in 2016, 2017, when Trump's first term, Paul Ryan did the same thing, slow walked everything, and we're not getting anything done. The only massive legislation that had been that has been passed is the big, beautiful bill. Mm-hmm. What have they been doing? Who knows? Arguing over procedure. You may or may not know what I think about Thune, but Thune needs to go. That's my opinion.
I agree. I mean, I think that that leader John Thune has been just as disappointing, frankly, as Speaker Mike Johnson, because they're failing to lead. And when you have the leader of a majority in a committee or a body like Congress, you expect them to lead. At least if you are a Republican that is supposed to be conservative and, you know, both men at least claim to be Christian, then you expect them to lead on principle, not on political convenience. And we're not seeing either Speaker Johnson or Leader Thune actually stand up and say, I'm going to push for what's right, regardless of whether this is popular, regardless of whether the White House supports it. And I think that President Trump would. I think if Leader Thune and Speaker Johnson went into President Trump and said, we are going to push for defunding Planned Parenthood as a part of this reconciliation bill, for example, and they gave him the reasons why, and they said, and here's our pathway to success, he'd be like, okay, I'm all for it. You know, but because it's not Trump's idea, then they just sit back and they wait for direction, and then they don't even stand up and lead their own coalition or whip votes or do really anything. I mean, they're basically relying on President Trump's executive orders to save the day. Well, Congress needs to do the job of legislating, because that's their constitutional prerogative. Like, that's the only reason that they exist, is to legislate, and not just legislate on anything, obviously. I mean, there are boundaries and contours to that that Congress historically has way blown past, but they need to legislate on things like immigration. I mean, why are we just abdicating the legislative ability of Congress to deal with this whole immigration issue to the executive, to DHS and to Trump's executive orders? Because the Democrats can turn that around in 2 seconds, where if we actually pass legislation, that would be a lot more difficult.
Absolutely. And they will do it come the midterms. And if Republicans don't show up at the polls, they will, you know, the Republicans will lose their razor-thin margin. It's going to be a struggle in the Senate as well. So I'm telling you, we're really on the chopping block right here. We have got to pray. We have got to motivate. We have got to get the vote out. And Congress has got to get their act together.
Well, and so let me ask you this, too, because my friend Todd Starnes, who's, you know, obviously a radio host, Newsmax TV host, he was on the radio side this week and had a different perspective than I've heard any Republican so far on the midterms. And his view is, well, yes, everything we've been saying is true, and he agrees with all that. He thinks that the Democrats are just so terrible, and that Republican voters know that, that they're going to turn out overwhelmingly just to vote against the Democrats because they understand the risk of allowing the Democrats to obtain the majority, because all they'll do is impeach Trump and, you know, have all kinds of, cause all kinds of chaos. And so he thinks that it's more likely that Republicans will win simply because the Democrats are so terrible. Do you think that's likely, or what's your perspective on that?
Well, with all due respect to Todd, and he's a mutual friend of ours and love him, that we can't rely on that as to be a plan. You're actually giving the Democrats, you're actually giving the Republican voters more credit than they deserve in the past history of midterms. Logic would tell you that. History does not. So we've still got to motivate. We've still got to get the vote out. You would think it would work that way, that people would just show up to vote against the Democrats because they're so bad and they're so poor and their logic and their policy is just that bad. But if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And we have got to do more than that, go over and above, if we want to save the country.
No, I agree. And I don't think his perspective is we need to just rely on that and have that as a plan. I completely agree with you on that. He just thinks that that might ultimately save us because voters like you and I and also Todd understand, just like we did in 2024, even if Trump wasn't your first choice, we understood the reality of the dangers and the risks if a Kamala Harris administration had come about. And thankfully, providentially, the Lord did not allow Kamala Harris to get into the White House, and we have President Trump, which is so much better. In that vein, there were a lot of people who were reluctant Trump voters because it was just more of a, you know, lesser of two evils calculation and some of that. I mean, I think that Trump winning in a landslide showed that more people were for him, not just against Kamala Harris. But do you think that even if that's not the plan, we could at least potentially see that in the midterms, that like 2024, people will get out and vote simply because they understand and recognize the dangers of communism?
I think the reason why Trump had an overwhelming vote count was they went after him. And the average American and influencers, especially influencers online, saw that, you know, we're next because we put stuff out all the time that is against their logic, their policy. And they saw this coming. This is the bedrock of communism. So they got out and they motivated others to vote. Thank God. What we experienced in this election was mercy. God did not give us what we did deserve. And thank God for that. But they have to really, really realize that this is not over. Trump is not our savior. The end is not with Trump. We have to stay vigilant. We have to continue to vote. We have to continue to pray. We have to continue to register in our houses of worship. We have to do that because there's no other choice. There's no other country to flee to. This is my home. I'm going to fight for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And last question for you, Alan Mashburn, and I think, you know, we really do have to pray. That's the solution, ultimately, pray, but also use the ability that God has given us in this country to participate in our civil government. We need to get out and vote our values, even if we don't love everything about what's going on or every candidate available or every policy, all of that. We still need to affect our civil government with our ability to vote because we can. And that is a responsibility and duty of the Christian. Where do you see the church's role in this?
The church has the most vital role. We are the bearers of truth. We have the truth. We have the Word of God. And so we have to be vigilant in that. We have to be in the forefront. You know, most people think about politics and what we're talking about. We talk about a lot about national politics. But politics on the day-to-day that affects your life every single day is local and regional and state. So we have to have believers involved. We have to have believers running for office in the school board level, in the county commission level, sheriffs, district attorneys, all of that. If we have another COVID event, God forbid, but we have another COVID, quote-unquote, takeover from the left, and your sheriffs, your district attorneys are going to be vital because they're going to determine what is unconstitutional and cannot be enforced. So we have to understand the role of government. We have to understand our role as being the salt and light. We are here to affect change, to affect things for Christ.
Amen. So well said. Well, we've got to leave it here. Pastor Alan Mashburn, I so appreciate that. And absolutely, the church needs to be engaged. And we do need to realize that there are important elections beyond just what we tend to see in the news all the time, which of course is, you know, Congress and governors and presidents and all of that. There are still a lot of other not only elected officials like sheriffs and district attorneys, but also, you know, in some states, even judicial retention. And, you know, there are so many things. And then there's the citizens' ballot initiatives, things like the redistricting referendum that just went through Virginia that I wish that more Republicans had turned out and voted down so we didn't have now this contest of whether or not that will eventually be certified. You know, there are so many things that if Christians in this country, everyone who self-identified as a Christian, whether or not you know, they're faithful, actually, or, you know, whatever, at least the people who identify as Christians and are registered Republicans, if they got out and vote, we would see a massive difference on a huge scale in this country. And I hope and I pray that the church will help inform on the biblical legitimate view of civil government and motivate all of their members and every Christian to get out and participate in civil government. So I really appreciate it, Alan Mashburn. And to all of our listeners, we do this podcast about once a week. And so if you have a topic or a guest that you suggest, we love hearing from you. A lot of our shows are based on commentary and things from our listeners. And so you can always reach me and my team, Jenna@AFR.net, and make sure that you are clicking that subscribe button, depending on the platform that you're listening to this podcast on, and share it with a friend so that especially young people, so that we can bring more people into the American Family Radio Network community so that they can get the news and headlines and these types of topics from a biblical worldview perspective, not just the PR machine of the Republican Party, or even worse, the PR machine of the leftist Communist Party. So it's really important that we continue to teach from a truth-based perspective, and we really appreciate all of our listeners sharing all of this content, and I will see you next week here on Demand.